the biggest surprise has probably been how much it changes day to day.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everybody. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Donna Letier here, who is the co-founder of Gardenuity. And Gardenuity, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is this incredible garden company that delivers these beautiful little customized growing kits that really are matching customers with the best plants for their growing circumstances. And Donna is the co-founder, as I mentioned. She has over 30 years experience in product development, design, and retail marketing. She's raised capital, which of course is always a hot topic for founders and people who are doing it right now. And like I said, she's been in numerous businesses, so she has just so much education and know-how and all of that, which I know that we can all learn from. And she's also spent time mentoring young entrepreneurs. I'd love to talk to her a little bit more about that. And well, let's just get going and talk to Donna. So welcome, Donna.
Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
So excited. So you and I were talking a little bit prior to going on air that you live in Dallas. And actually, Donna mentioned something to me that I've never really thought about because I've been a road warrior for many, many years. Donna lives in Dallas and she can kind of hit both coasts from Dallas and make them day trips, which I think is pretty awesome. I never really thought about that, but I'm like, that's true. That's really great. And plus Dallas is such an awesome, awesome place to be. So very, very cool. So talk to me a little bit about little Donna. Did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Were you always a gardener? I mean, how did this get started?
Oh my gosh. Well, no, not only was I not a gardener, I didn't have a horticultural degree, wasn't a master gardener. We saw a void in the marketplace and thought we could really create an experience. I like the wellness industry. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day if I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Did I always know it? You know, I like to solve problems. Even as a kid, I remember trying to make things better and not being daunted by being the first to do something. You know, we lived in Alaska for a while and I was the only girl on the boys hockey team. I just remember doing things and liking to solve problems. So it kind of came naturally to me and I love it.
That's amazing. So prior to starting your company, you graduate from school. What did you do next?
Went to work for Neiman Marcus. And that was such a great experience because they really knew how to create a customer journey. And Stanley Marcus, I think, was one of the great imagineers for retail. And so that was a really great place for me to learn. I remember interviewing there and the lady who interviewed me was 6'2" in stiletto heels and scariest interview I've ever had to this day. But I learned so much. You know what? I learned a lot about details and customer service. And, you know, I think you learn differently at different stages of your life. You know, in your 20s, you listen with the idea of getting ahead. And then in your 30s, you listen in a hurry because you got a lot to do. But as I'm older now, I listen with the joy of learning. And so it really was the right time to venture off into Gardenuity.
It's so interesting. So your first job was with a major brand like Neiman Marcus. And, you know, I think about this a lot. My dad used to actually tell me that brands will always win. I mean, he was such a huge believer that, you know, that consumers will always be attracted to brands. They may go and buy things that are cheaper along the way. Today, we call them private label, whatever. But it's so fascinating because I do believe that brands are just, I don't know what it is about them. I guess it's easier for the consumer to really understand what the promise is and what the entire, you know, belief system is in some cases. And there's a lot of trust there. So
I think it's the story behind the brand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you behind Hint. It's you. I mean, I like to hear the customer stories, the founder stories, because it makes the product that much more real to me. And how can it fit into my life?
Yeah, I think that's so true. So you went on from Neiman Marcus, and I guess you worked for one of my other favorites, sadly no longer stores, Barney's, that I was devastated when Barney's closed, for sure. I was so excited when they opened in my hometown, San Francisco, you know, where I live, and then to see them close, it was just so devastating on so many fronts. So what was that like for you, you know, having kind of also grown up there in some ways?
You know what? It was a great experience for me. Decisions were made when I was there differently than I was used to. I have always been kind of a data girl. So I like reading the data to help make better decisions. And it was family owned when I worked there. And so a lot of decisions were emotional. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really great learning opportunity for me to learn how family members work together, how decisions sometimes you have to just go with the flow and you know, how to read emotion and kind of turn it to your advantage to use the data to drive the end result. So it was a great experience. I love New York. I love both coasts, having lived in both areas. And so, you know, I had a great time. Every place I've worked, I can look back on and think and thank the people I worked with, the people I worked for, and the product experience that I got to have.
So interesting. And it's not to say that there probably weren't challenging times in both of those roles, but I think looking back on what did you learn, I think it's, so I always remind people, it's, you know, you're really missing it if you forget about those challenging times, if you try and, you know, not think about them or talk about them, because I think it's always an opportunity to learn and grow from your challenges, your failures, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right. And when they opened, we opened the Barney store in Dallas, and it was right next to Neiman's. And the Dallas female consumer had a different persona in fashion than the New York consumer. And so it was, you know, the best example was they were concerned because the shoe business was off. And I said, well, you've got all flats. Well, that's what's in style. I said, I know that's in style. And that's what women in New York wear. But in Dallas, people are wearing heels, and you're right next to Neiman's. So we got to graduate them into the flat scene. And so it was just great learning and curve. I've loved every place I've been.
That's so interesting. And then you went into the publishing industry?
Well, I worked for, yes, and I loved it. I worked for Borders Books.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Back in the day when they partnered with Amazon, you know, before Amazon was what it is today. And I happened to be an avid reader. So it was a great place for me. It's when Harry Potter books were launching, their children's music category was really growing. And that's probably where I honed in on storytelling and creating the experience in a profitable way. Really, you know, it was great. I loved it.
What year was this at Borders?
Oh my gosh. Probably about 5 years before they closed.
And was that in the 90s? I'm trying to.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
That's so funny because I ran AOL's e-commerce and shopping partnerships. And the last category that I was trying to fill was with books. And this is 1996. And Borders had said, we wanted to create a Borders bookstore. And they said no to us. And they were not interested in working with America Online. And then I went to Barnes & Noble and they said no. And so then I had heard about this guy up in Seattle Jeff Bezos, who had started this bookstore. And so, and he was definitely like, you know, the D-list, right?
Yeah.
He was not, I mean, it was Borders and Barnes and Noble were, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Right. That's right.
And so I went to Amazon, and anyway, I have a crazy story there where, you know, basically I went to a warehouse and Jeff told me I was 15 minutes late. It was 5:15, and Jeff told me he couldn't meet with me unless I could help him set up a bookshelf. And I said, I am the best bookshelf setter-upper. I had never built a bookshelf before in my life, but he had his, you know, the pipes, the plastic pipes. I don't know what they're officially called,
yeah,
where he was putting them together. He had just bought them at Home Depot. And anyway, so I sat there and built for the next 2 hours, the bookshelves with, Jeff Bezos and my other colleague. And, you know, it's funny because I'm in the middle of this meeting. I kept thinking, I wish we could actually do something with Borders or Barnes and Noble, but they weren't ready. And I thought maybe I'd do this temporarily and then it'll, you know, it'll end up being, you know, eventually we'll get there. But I asked him like one closing question. I said, why do you think that you'll be successful against Barnes and Noble and Borders? And he said, do you ever walk up to the counter at either of those stores and ask for a recommendation? And I said, sure. He said, do you read a lot? I said, I do. And he said, do they give you a recommendation? And I said, sometimes, but I mean, how could they know all
right,
the different books? And he said, the future of books and everything else on the internet is recommendations. And this is 1996.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, right, and this is a story for entrepreneurs, because when you have a big idea, I mean, this is before search,
right? Right.
Real search. I mean, this is before Google, this is before everything. And, you know, and I remember leaving and getting on my Southwest flight and thinking, okay, he's a little rough around the edges and I had to build bookcases and whatever, but he's really smart. And, you know, so we did. We ended up working with them and it was a tiny store. And anyway, it was my crazy book story. So
that's cool. That's a great story.
It was a lot of fun. So getting back to your story, so Gardenuity, how mm-hmm. did this come to be?
You know what? It really starts with the mission for us. And the mission is to make gardening and gardening experiences accessible to everyone. So whether you're in a high rise in downtown Manhattan or a sprawling yard in Santa Barbara, or you're a marathon runner or in a wheelchair, we wanted people to experience gardening. And I think that certainly has some personal ties to me. My youngest daughter is in a wheelchair. And so I knew that gardening, through all the research, did beautiful things from a wellness standpoint, mentally, physically, for Alzheimer's, dementia. We also knew that it grew gratitude. And I think that there is a huge challenge globally with mental health. And I knew gardening was a way to tackle that. But people are afraid of gardening. Mm-hmm. And I think the stat is 90% of people on their first time garden attempt, they fail. And so it's kind of like a four-prong approach when you get into gardening. We want to own and help the experience along the way at every touch point. So, you know, how do you feel before you garden? How do you feel while you're gardening? How do you feel during the season? How do you feel when you harvest and have that "I grew that" moment? So we've really defined the experience, and then we brought all the product in, which made it so much easier. You know, I think anybody who works in a service industry for a while, you know, I was waitress, I was Pizza Hut. I mean, I lived overseas. And so I was, yeah, I think those kind of retail and service industry experiences make you better to define what the customer experience needs to be.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree. So you also talked about when you were explaining and reminiscing about your role at Neiman Marcus, how you learned about, and at Barney's, how different areas of the country might be thinking differently about certain types of merchandise. Obviously, in the case of gardening, you've got different zones. You've got different, you know, levels of gardeners as well. And what do you see is probably the most challenge for not only for, you know, the gardener or the gardener to be, but also for you as a company and trying to figure this out for people and make those recommendations?
Well, we knew that technology would play a big part of the experience. So we have patent pending on something called Gardenuity Match. Mm-hmm. And what we do is instead of just having somebody think they know what zone they're in, most people end up failing because they plant the wrong thing, the wrong time in the wrong soil. So we thought, let's look at match. And I thought, well, dating sites are matching people all the time. Why can't we match people to plants and plants to nutrients based on what their specific needs are? So we, before the whole experience starts, if you log in Arizona, at the same time you log in Maine, different garden options are going to pop up. So we only match you to what you'll be successful planting. And that includes an algorithm that looks at predictive weather, time to harvest. You know, even if the weather is great today for me to plant tomatoes in Phoenix, I know they're going to take 60 days to fruit. And it's going to be too hot for them to pollinate, so I won't be successful. So I don't, we are not going to perpetuate people saying, see, I can't make it work. Nothing ever grows for me. We're not going to do that. So we only show you what you can plant at the time. And there's sometimes that, you know, in Michigan in January, there's nothing popping up. So we do have an indoor gardening experience as well for a desktop garden.
Well, I mentioned you had actually sent me a beautiful kit that was just filled with amazing little plants that even I couldn't kill. So it was very, very easy. And I don't know what you put in the little bottle, the little spray bottle that comes with it, but that stuff is gold. I mean, it was really terrific. So I found it incredibly easy and actually just kept thinking about what a great gift for people too. I bet you sell a lot of those for gifts.
We do. And actually, you know, it's, we do a lot with corporate wellness. We do a lot with gift giving because people realize that experiences matter. And I think they mattered before the pandemic, but they certainly are talked about more now after we've spent time at home and we're looking for things to do and how can we nurture ourselves at home. So, you know what, the gift giving side and the just doing side is all about the experience. We talk about the reasons we should all get a little dirty. And sometimes you're a little afraid to try. And I think that gardening is actually, it's a great antidote for growth mindset, but it's also a great thing for entrepreneurs because you got to get a little dirty to get in there. You know, what's the worst that can happen if you make a phone call? They say no, or they say, yeah, you're not right. And I, and in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm not right today, but I'll call you next week.
I love
you,
it.
You got to kind of have some chutzpah. And I think I will say, being an entrepreneur in my 50s, that chutzpah comes in handy, that and chocolate.
Yeah, I love it. That's so great. So when you were thinking about building the company, so, you know, you had this idea. And then what did you do next? What was kind of the first steps?
We really built out the experience that we wanted. I mean, we said, what is it that we want the customer to enjoy? What is the experience? And the whole I grew that moment, whether you're growing a healthy child, a business, a bank account, it's that I grew that joy that is so rewarding. So we really mapped out the experience. Then we started meeting with technicians and we started meeting with horticulturalists. I mean, we have, you know, spent countless hours with people who have PhDs in soil. We work with about 90 different family-owned farm partners across the country and telling their story and hearing their story. We really brought it all together. We have people on our team who put nutritional plans together for every single meal kit, all of the different meals that the plants need throughout their growing season. And I think the journey for me was, let's build the experience, let's get the product, and let's beta test, beta test, beta test. And we made mistakes. But it, you know, when it comes together and the community that you're growing gets so excited that they've gotten to harvest something, because they're like, oh, I've never been successful gardening before. And they get this achievement is so exciting. And I think that it plays into so many different fields, and we love it. We love what it's doing for communities.
I love it. That's so great. So when you're hiring people, so you're a co-founder, how did you find a co-founder?
Julie and I, she's way smarter than me. She'll be coding. I can come up with an idea for an algorithm. She builds it. It's not my skill set. And we have known each other for a long time and we complement each other. So it was great for me to have a co-founder who I have utmost respect for and complete trust in. And so for me, that's what made the journey that much more enjoyable because we could banter and bicker, but I know her skill set and she knows mine. So we let each other run.
I love it. That's great. Well, I think it's so important if you're going to have a co-founder to have somebody that has different skill sets from you. I think it seems like common sense 101, but so often people will meet people, they both, you know, are really excited about an idea and they look very, very similar on paper, right? That their skills are. And I think that that's when the model really starts to break down where, you know, you've got to have a yin and yang and you've got to have that other person. And did you raise capital for the business?
We did. And just to finish answering your other question, I think with co-founders or with your core leadership team, you have to be so aligned on values, right? Mm-hmm. You guys, everybody has to buy in on what those values are and what your core competencies are, because that during bad times is going to get you through. And that helps people make decisions when you're not there. The business needs to run just fine. But yes, we did. I knocked on doors cold and said, I have this idea. And the idea I presented to the original investors is not exactly what we have today. We're much smarter now, but I tell people when I get to talk to young entrepreneurs, if you don't look back at your first pitch deck and you're not mortified, then you waited too long to get out there. I'm one of the ones who can look back and say, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? But literally knocked on doors and we had some, there was one family office who said, he's not investing in any startups right now. I said, no, I know that, but he has a history in retail and customer experience. And he was one of the co-founders of Container Store. And so I said, I just want to meet Garrett. And so I ended up meeting him and he came to my office and the guy who had set up with me said, he's got 20 minutes and he's not investing. But he stayed about 2 hours and he's on my board and he's an investor and I love him.
You never know.
You never know. And you learn something from every meeting. And I think that's, I'm not afraid to, I'm not afraid. I mean, I know what I don't know. So you can't tell me something.
It's so true. Look, the guy that my husband and I have been married 26 years and the guy who he was my friend from high school who introduced us. They were in law school together. And he still says to this day, I never would have put you two together.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I know. So you never know. You just have to. We ended up being in the same room at the same time and the rest is history. So I always say to people, like, you never know. All you can
do is
network and see what happens. And look, this guy invested and also probably has a lot of great advice for you
every day.
Yeah, which is absolutely so amazing. What was the thing you talked a little bit about, your first deck? What was the thing that really surprised you? Obviously, you had an amazing experience and with some incredible brands along the way. Obviously, you came from a different industry into this industry. What was kind of the biggest surprise about being an entrepreneur for you?
You know what? I actually think it has served me well not coming from the gardening industry, which sounds crazy to some people, but I came really with a customer perspective, not just a this is how we're supposed to do it perspective. The biggest surprise has probably been how much it changes day to day. You've got to be flexible. And I think I've learned how to be resilient by watching my daughter just live, literally. And I think that helped me. as an entrepreneur.
Your daughter with special needs that you were mentioning.
Yeah. Yeah. They said she wouldn't live past 5 and she's 23 and 80 pounds, really non-ambulatory or verbal, but she is the picture of perseverance. She just does not take no. And she, despite all the doctors, she is a survivor. And I think you kind of have to have that in your DNA to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And just the curiosity and the belief, right?
Right.
I think all of those things along the way, it's so incredible. So you adapted during COVID. What was the biggest adaptation that you needed to make, I guess, during COVID?
You know what? We are really, our core growth is B2B through corporate mm-hmm. partners that we call channel partners. And so we had to quickly say, okay, they're all sending their people home. So we're not going to be going to do gardening workshops and they're not going to be getting their employees together to do gardening activities. So let's turn to direct to consumer and focus on that and just tell the story and let our customers tell the story for us. We had sent everybody home. So it was literally just 3 of us in the warehouse. We converted our office to a warehouse and we just made it happen. I mean, it was really interesting. And then in about, I guess, June, the corporation started coming back to us and we really embraced the Zoom events because, you know, there's different trends happening in the corporate wellness world. And it used to be, you know, the culture's we've got healthy snacks, we've got a ping pong table, or, you know, we have afternoon cocktail hour on Friday. Well, now people are really looking for wellness initiatives and gardening has become one of those top things. So we're probably doing a Zoom event with a corporate partner like Salesforce or Uber or Cigna 2 or 3 times a day. Our group is in front of them because they're bringing their teams together or they're using it to embrace and connect to their customers. But it's Absolutely. All about growing together and growing wellness. So we really kind of found ourselves with our, you know, DNA being in the wellness space, coming full circle and corporations wanting to embrace it so that they could connect with their team members and customers in a little bit different of a way. And so whether it's building a cocktail gardening and having cocktails and people actually build the garden with us, we ship them all to their houses, or patio to plate, or we have a lot of growing greatness kind of entrepreneurial events where they're just putting vegetable gardens together. And it's really fun. It is fun to get dirty with people you don't know, right? I mean, they start bantering and they have people who are meeting each other for the first time and they're chatting and then they have these little competitions. You know, I think the regular pizza Zoom corporate event is kind of tired and stale. And so we're in a good position to bring something fresh.
I love it. Well, we do that. We should definitely talk to you guys as well, because we've been doing that for our company throughout. And we've done lots. Actually, we just did a coffee one, which was incredibly interesting, that learning all about the different types of coffee. And my friend over, Helen Russell over at Equator Coffee, and her team did it for us. And another friend of mine who runs a winery did Brooks Winery, and she has it was the first organic Riesling in the market. And she's changed significantly. She has a whole backstory where her brother had actually passed away and she took over the winery, never thought she was going to be in the winery. And now she's, you know, 10x the winery, and it has an incredible story too about family and passion and commitment and responsibility.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a lot of fun. So anyway, we should definitely talk about that as well.
But is your whole team coming into the office now?
No, we are not. We're probably going to start it coming in September. But to be honest with you, we'll probably continue to do these Zoom events because we just find that we've got a lot of remote people. About half of our 200 people are remote. They're salespeople throughout the country. And we've got an office in New York and an office in San Francisco. But what we find is that it's, you know, it's just a lot of fun. and right. for people to get together. And we find that, you know, even the very senior people in the company and then the interns are coming on this call.
Right.
And, you know, we just laugh and you get to see hear people's personalities. And so it's just a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I'll sit there on Goldbelly. Do you know that company?
Yes.
We've been on, we did a pizza making. I mean, we have been so creative about these. I mean, we ordered from a pizza place in Michigan. And anyway,
that's just fun. That's a way to engage, right?
Yeah.
It's a way to connect. We could do a fun one, you know, accessorize your hint. A hint of an accessory or something with fresh herbs.
Well, I think that, you know, the whole idea of doing like a little miniature vegetable garden, I think that that could be really, really cool because I feel like that is sort of front and center with our employees too. So we'll definitely talk more about that. So where can people find Gardenuity, also find you and hear more about everything that you're doing?
You know what? Gardenuity.com. And Gardenuity is ingenuity in gardening. So on our website, we've also got a great blog called, it's part of the website, and then LinkedIn and Twitter and all those kind of things. But the blog is full of, it's called The Sage, and it's full of sage advice, not only just about gardening, but about life. So we, you know what? It's really a, what we're loving is that it's a whole new way to look at gardening. I mean, and I think that it's going to be something that really is impactful from a wellness standpoint moving forward. So I'm excited. Thank you so much for letting me be part of your story.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. And there's so many learnings here, Donna. So I really appreciate you coming on. And everyone, thank you for listening so much. We are here every Monday and Wednesday with incredible guests. And Donna is... one of a few others, many others that we've had on that just every day, I'm just feel so grateful and blessed to have people like her on to just share their journeys and so many of their learnings. And definitely, if you have not bought your kit yet from Gardenuity, go on and buy it. And definitely grab a case of Hint at drinkhint.com or your favorite store as well. And if you haven't had a chance to get my book, Undaunted Overcoming Doubts and Doubters. Donna was just sharing with me that she shared it with a whole group of her friends over the holidays, which is so nice. And it makes a great gift for entrepreneurs or anybody who's thinking about making some kind of change. And definitely would love to hear from you as well on any of my social channels. So thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.